Welcome to Cook and Conquer. I'm your host, Anna Levy Scarra Vineyard, and today we're diving into how food, tradition, creativity, and heart come together in the kitchen. This show is all about making meaningful memories through cooking, and today's guest embodies the idea of turning love, legacy, and intention into something beautiful. Joining us is jewelry designer and business owner, Lynn Skybell, the force behind Skybell Fine Jewelry. Her journey from nursing and medical sales to becoming the steward of her late husband's jewelry legacy has shaped her into a woman who deeply understands meaning, memory, and creating something special with your own hands. Today, we're starting with the emotional heart of the holidays, taking simple treats like peppermint bark and turning them into gifts that feel personal, thoughtful, and full of love. Lynn, welcome to the show. Let's dive into what makes holiday treats.
To me, it's like getting together with family or friends and cooking in the kitchen. It's just fills your heart. And I just love cooking with my friends or my sister and making great memories.
Most definitely. What memories do you have back in the day as a little girl?
Yeah. My sister and I made some fudge one day, and I'm not going to say that it was a total success, but the fact of to this day, we can start talking. We will always know the fudge story and how much fun we had that day and how we just laughed so hard. But our fudge was not a total success, but still, like, it's a great memory.
I bet it was, because you were there with your sister, with your loved ones, and it was just fine. Mm-hmm. Many people feel overwhelmed during the holidays, turning baking into a rushed, stressful task instead of heartfelt moment. This segment explores how intention, presentation, and slowing down can transform something simple into something meaningful. So, do you remember a time when a simple homemade treat like peppermint bark felt like more than food, but a memory?
Yes. My grandmother, who's been passed a long time, was a home economics major. And so she was so perfect in all of her cooking. And we would make chocolate chip cookies were our big thing that we loved. But she had the specific ways of doing things. And when we got to lick the spoon and I'll just never forget working with her in the kitchen and watching her, and her food was impeccable. So it was super fun.
Wow. Do you remember a time when a simple homemade treat like peppermint bark felt like more than just food, but a memory?
I do. The fudge story with my sister, and if you remember, I don't know if we can even reference it, but Lucy and Ethel, and when they were eating the working on the conveyor line, I would say those type of things, you know, would happen, and just it would just involve a lot of laughter.
I understand. How does giving something handmade help people feel seen and cared for?
Yeah, it's just that you didn't just go buy something or get a gift card or something like that. You actually put your heart and soul into making something special for someone. And I always enjoy those kind of gifts and giving them as well.
I understand. How can we slow down and make peppermint bark with intention instead of just rushing through?
I think making the time, setting the time aside, I think turning off cell phones and being really present with each other is really a great a great thing to try to do, especially during the holidays. I'm out and about a lot, and I see everyone's on their phone. And you know, to sit down at a meal or to cook together, just turn off your phone and be present. I think that could be just a really simple way of making things more meaningful.
Yes. What gift touches, like wrapping or handwritten tags, make treats feel meaningful?
I think that handwritten tag, or sometimes I've had people give me a recipe, like, you know, if along with the treat. And so then you will always have that recipe and that memory of that person.
Yes. What would you tell someone feeling overwhelmed about making homemade gifts this season?
I just say, do what feels best for you. And also, if you have children, I don't have children, but if you have children, to make memories with them that would make it so special.
Most definitely. Well, coming up after the break, we will explore how traditions and memories make a big difference. Thank you. Lynn, we're right here. I just cannot believe this, but I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit about my peppermint bark. And with that said, as you see, it's not the conventional or common peppermint bark. Normally, it's very thin. And in my case, as you see, it's huge. Why is that? Even though I have my recipe, when it comes to preparing my peppermint bark, I love to add that extra touch, making it thicker. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of just whatever I do in the kitchen, giving that extra touch of love. That's what one of my books is called, Cooking with Love, and it has a lot of recipes and the history behind them. But peppermint bark means so much to me in this season, right? Mm-hmm. When it's getting close to Christmas and New Year's, and it tastes phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorites. So, how is it made? And people want to know a little bit more into detail. Well, I use very high-end chocolate. And why is that? Because it will make a big difference in the outcome of the product and the flavor and the texture and the consistency. And I normally start with dark chocolate, semi-sweet, and I make sure I put it in the burner and on the stove with some water, you know, and in between the bottom pan and another one, and it has to have water, but I need to make sure I start first with the chocolate, the dark chocolate, but I always have to use the peppermint extract because that's actually what gives it that extra touch and flavor.
Okay.
And then I go ahead and I start with the white chocolate as well. And I make sure, as I just said previously, the product is high-end, the chocolate that I'm going to be purchasing. Then I make sure it melts. First the chocolate, the dark one, and then I go in with the white one. And it also needs peppermint extract because that's what's going to give it the flavor and that extra touch. And as soon as it's ready, I have to have these special trays, just like the one that we have here, with this special paper, and I have to set it on and place the dark chocolate first, as you see here, the dark one, and then as it's cooling off, just a little warm, not completely cooled off, I add the white. And then after I do that, I go ahead and I add the white, and we have to give it the last piece that is the peppermint, fresh peppermint, as you see, and You could actually buy peppermint and crush it up, and or you could even go and purchase it like that. This one is actually my peppermint that I actually purchased already crushed. So when it's crushed, I just add it right. I sprinkle it. The more you put on it, the better it will actually be, because that's what you want in a product, making sure you take that extra time and love and care. I'm going to share with you something that means a lot to me. When I'm in the kitchen, I was always taught by my mom that whatever you would cook and bake, that you would cook with love. And I have to make sure that I have that extra ingredient. If you're going to do something, make sure you're pouring your heart. So that dessert, meal, whatever you're going to prepare comes out extremely delicious, but you're also pouring your heart. That's, I guess, one of my love languages, and I didn't even know. The art of loving my neighbor. My mom would always care about other people before herself. And I think that that's what makes these desserts, like peppermint bark, like, I don't know, banana pudding or arroz con leche, all these delicious treats extra special because you're making sure that you're preparing it just like if it was for yourself.
Yeah.
But it's actually for your loved ones. So I think it's even, it goes to the next level when you're doing that. So that's how you do the peppermint bark. And then when it's ready like this and it's still, you know, hot, you have to put it for several hours. And I would say actually leave it in the refrigerator for, I would say, 24 hours. So that way you could end up having something so hard and consistency. You know, if you want to grab it and see it, the texture, it is not soft. It is actually hard. And right. That's what you need when you're going to prepare peppermint bark. It cannot just be, you know, soft. So I normally leave it in the refrigerator, not in the freezer, for 24 hours. The following day, I pull it out. I have to pull it out and take it out of this paper. As you see, look, it's thicker than regular. And why do I do that? Because I pull it out and then I put it in a special Ziploc baggie, and I get a mallet and I have to hit it. It might sound kind of funny and strange, but I have to put this in a Ziploc baggie, and then I end up with these fun, different shaped pieces of peppermint bark. There, some people tend to want to have them like really exact. You will never have something exact when it comes to peppermint bark. But what I do make sure that is exact is the flavor.
Yeah.
Right?
I've had it. It's amazing.
You've had it too, haven't you?
You gave it to me.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
It's amazing.
So it is wonderful to share this and to pour my heart to all of you. And you know what? And to have an amazing friend with me today. And I know that if she didn't know how to do peppermint bark, she's already learned today.
I'm going to now have to make some for my team at work.
Yes, it's something very easy.
Yeah.
And you just have to pour. Remember, the special ingredient
is love.
Cooking with love.
Cooking with love.
Yes. Welcome back to Cook and Conquer. Want more heartfelt stories and delicious recipes, right? Stay connected anytime by downloading the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS for nonstop bilingual programming. And don't forget, you can catch the podcast version on www.nowmedia.tv so you never miss an episode. Welcome back to Cook and Conquer. We're here with Lynn Skybell, whose passion for honoring legacy has shaped both her life and her work. So in this segment, we're talking about reviving traditions, recipes, heirlooms and memories that bring families back together. Whether it's an old recipe or a piece of jewelry passed down through generations, bringing memories to life can be healing and deeply meaningful. Many people hold onto old traditions, but never use them because they're afraid of ruining them. This segment explores why bringing those memories into the present is powerful and how food can be the bridge to connection. So, how does repurposing the jewelry mirror bringing old recipes and traditions back?
That's a great question. I would say that one of our biggest items lately is redesigning heirloom jewelry because people are inheriting jewelry that maybe is not their taste. They're not inheriting things that they would want to wear or feel comfortable wearing, but then they don't want to do anything to the jewelry because they don't want to be disrespectful to the person that owned it. But what I say is, first of all, you have to do what you want to do. And then also, I think it's really important that you are honoring that person if you redesign a piece for yourself that you would love. I did it myself with my own ring. The Charles gave me a diamond. Oh. And we redesigned, my designer at the store now redesigned this ring. And it's got a 3-stone ring, a past, present, and future. And a window to the past, gone but not forgotten. And so these are the things that I think with jewelry is super important and very, very respectful to whoever left you this piece of jewelry. And it's a lot of fun if you really want to repurpose something.
Wow. Does this really happen a lot? Do people actually go and change, you know, the how the ring was originally and to something new? Does that really happen that often?
It's happening a lot right now, a lot, because people just have pieces that are maybe just chunky or just out of style. And we're doing it, I would say we do one or two a week. And then someone is so thrilled and excited and they're still wearing that diamond that was their mother's or their grandmother's, but it's speaking to them and it's something that they enjoy and they still have that memory when they look at that diamond. They know that was that person that left that to them.
Wow. How can making something simple like peppermint bark reconnect people to forgotten traditions? How could that be?
I think that for you, especially when you talk about all of your recipes from your grandmother or your mother, and then you explain what happened with you in those moments in the kitchen with your family, and that will connect your kids to those memories. And then someday they'll be doing this too. So your traditions of keeping these recipes going and making it with your family just makes it special and keeps it special and connects things.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. And then it goes from generation to generation.
Absolutely. Yes.
Uh-huh. And that's the special part.
It is.
So what would you say to someone afraid of using old traditions or heirlooms?
I just think that people need to be comfortable with what they're doing. I think that for myself, my grandmother, again, I was talking about her. She had the best cornbread dressing in the world recipe. And I don't have those recipes anymore. So the things that you're doing with your recipes, I just say, don't be afraid. You know, I like the fudge I messed up. You can also mess up a recipe, but it's nothing terrible. Like things are great.
Most definitely. It doesn't matter if you mess up. You could go and redo it again and practice again. And then eventually that recipe is going to come out great. It's just about practice.
Yeah.
So up next, the holidays can get stressful, but we're talking about how to find calm, light, and purpose into the kitchen. Stay tuned.
welcome back to Cook and Conquer. In this segment, we're shifting into the emotional side of the kitchen, the pressure, the pace, and how the holidays sometimes brings more stress than joy. Lynn's journey through loss, reinvention, and purpose gives her a unique lens on finding peace during chaotic seasons. Holiday stress affects everyone. This conversation helps viewers discover how cooking can become a grounding ritual, a calming moment on a way to reconnect with themselves and others. So how, I would love to know this question, how did you begin peace and purpose back into your life after big changes?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is just the support of my friends and family and people that love me. I would say that my friends were just key to loving me through a really very difficult time. And at some point, you just have to decide that this has happened and make the most and the best of what you have and be grateful. And that's where I am now. I just am really grateful for every day, for every challenge, for everything that I have in my life. And I think that's how I have made it through that.
Most definitely. And I understand that right now during this time in the season of the holidays, it brings a little extra to it, right?
Yes.
Of concerns or maybe that memory that you have with Charles, mm-hmm. which I do remember him very, I have very fond memories of him going into your jewelry store. And I know that where he is, he's in a better place mm-hmm. and you will eventually get to see him again.
Yes. Yeah. I think of that too. And I think too, moving on and away from that, where I would in the past maybe just dwell in all those memories. Now I'm attempting, and I would say it's been 6 years. It's a long time. But at this point, I would say I'm the most able to feel joy and happiness and move forward and have those memories be peaceful, loving memories.
Most definitely. We know that we will get to see our loved ones again. This
yes.
is not over.
Mm-hmm.
And it sure seemed to me like it was yesterday, not 6 years.
6 years.
Ago.
I know, yes.
Oh.
Six.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what rituals make cooking soothing instead of stressful?
Well, for me, it's getting a lot of prep done. Like the more prep that you get done and then so that you're not trying to do everything in one day. And that also, I think my last Thanksgiving that I had this past week, my friend had such a relaxed Thanksgiving, a Friendsgiving or whatever you want to call it, but everybody brought their favorite thing, their favorite holiday dish, and then she did turkey and gravy, and it was just so nice because it was so relaxed and kicked back, and she wasn't trying to do everything herself, so everybody got to bring something special and make it special and not have to do the whole spread. You
yes,
know,
that makes it challenging just for one person, but
uh-huh.
if the friends decide to just jump in, it makes it a lot easier. And by the way, I think it's dynamic at the same time and interesting because if they're from different cultures,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's very interesting to find out what is she going to bring?
I know.
Where is she from? You know, it's different. And I love that.
I do too. I did. It was a great Thanksgiving. And we had my thing again is cornbread dressing. So my friend had a cousin that had cornbread dressing and we were all like, well, there's just this comparison of the two that was fun. It was very, very relaxing because nobody was just completely killing themselves cooking and cleaning and all of that.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing. What does conquering your kitchen mean to your emotion, you emotionally and spiritually?
Well, I think I'm not as much of a cook as you are, but for me, I think I just need to have food that I can eat that's easy, and that it doesn't involve a whole lot, because I'm just cooking for myself and it's different, you know. So for me, conquering my kitchen means getting a lot of takeout. Sorry.
No, that's fine. And I love the fact that you're just yourself. You're very genuine, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Some of us are running, and some of us are still taking those baby steps that I share in my book, A Legacy mm-hmm. of Love. And that is perfectly fine. We come from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. I love to cook because of my mother. Mm-hmm. My mother was very fond of the kitchen, and I turned out to be very much like her, mm-hmm. not as good as she was in the kitchen, but I could say that I'm getting there. Mm-hmm. I would always look up to her and her mm-hmm. cooking and her baking, and always trying to take a look and listen to her tips and tricks. What would help that recipe improve? Mm-hmm. So with that said, coming up, we talk about creativity, passion, and making space for joy, even in the busy lives. You don't want to miss this final segment, and thank you for being here with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to Cook and Conquer. Don't miss a moment of heartfelt storytelling and delicious inspiration. Download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, or listen to our podcast anytime at www.nowmedia.tv. We're here 24/7 with stories that nourish your mind, heart, and home. We're closing today's conversation by exploring creativity, how to keep it alive, even when life feels full, busy, or overwhelming. Lynn's journey shows how passion, practicality can coexist beautifully. Many people crave creativity, but feel they don't have time. This segment helps viewers understand how cooking, creativity, and daily habits can become expressions of joy. So, what helped you choose creativity even when life was busy, Lynn?
I've had several passions in my life, and when I started learning the jewelry business and running the store, a lot of those fell by the wayside. And one of my greatest passions was acting. It was actually acting, and so I've had friends recently reach out to me, and I was in a movie recently, and then also throughout my own store, I do a lot of what you're doing, which is Instagram and social media and being on camera, and a lot of the things that I've done in the past have come together to help me be successful, but also really enjoy what I'm doing. So working with in situations even like this, it's super fun for me, and I get to use skills that I built over the years.
Well, you're extremely talented. All these things that you share about your life and what you've done in the past, your own journey, I did not even know. I'm learning so much more about you, uh-huh. and I definitely feel very blessed and honored to have you here with me today, and I know that there's something amazing coming around the corner that I always mention. So what mindset helps people infuse creativity into everyday routines?
I think you have to have fun. And I think with Charles passing and my having the level of grief that I had, I wasn't always able to have fun. And I think, you know, you were in the store at a point in time when people just went to that store to have fun. And the stress of inheriting the store, trying to run the business, etc., I believe I got away from a little bit of the fun. I have a team right now that just brings the fun. We've had music in the store. We've had parties in the store. So I think you've really got to just be happy. A really simple thing is to be happy and enjoy yourself. And then other people enjoy it. And I believe I've made a shift in that situation where people are just loving coming into the store. I've put some new team members on that are super fun and bring the joy. They bring the joy to the store, and it's different than the way it was, but it's definitely having fun and being happy.
Yes, that's what it feels like. I remember those times that I would go there and spend some time. And you're right, it was about having fun. It was about talking with my beloved friend Clyde that I miss every day. Yeah, I do remember him a lot.
Me too.
And he was always very fun to talk to, very kind, very generous. Mm-hmm. And I have to share this. It's going to be a little funny. But I've always been a lot into fashion and how I dress that he would always say, give me a spin right here. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He would say, turn around. I want to see what you're wearing today. And I would turn around and he would say, oh, la la, I love how you're dressed today. He would make me laugh. Uh-huh. And because I've always been more of a reserved, quiet person, mm-hmm. but he would make me laugh. And yes. he would always tell me, you know, you're looking great. I love you, Anna Lee. And he would give me one, two words in Spanish. And for me, that meant so much mm-hmm. because I'm Hispanic and I'm very proud of who I am. Mm-hmm. So I would always tell him, yes, I'm Hispanic. He would say, I'm African-American. I said, no, I'm adopting you. I'm adopting you. You're also Hispanic.
Yeah.
So he would come and give me these big hugs, which you didn't know that that would happen when we were alone and you were not there or you were busy, because I know mm-hmm. you're a businesswoman. You're mm-hmm. very busy. Mm-hmm. But he was always bringing that spark. He was mm-hmm. so enthusiastic, very fun to be with, caring, loving, sweet. And when he would do that to me, I'm like, I'm not even fully dressed today.
But that's really funny, because what he would say to me was, because I like to dress a little more down a lot and be, you know, jeans or cargo pants or whatever. And he'd say, Lynn, and my name had like three or four syllables in it. And he'd be like, Lynn, you need to dress like you own a jewelry store. And when I get dressed in the morning a lot these days, I think about that, because I might be, you know, in a schlubby sweater or something, be like, you need to dress like you own a jewelry store. So,
those are good memories. Uh-huh. Yes. Who wants to be creative again? Who doesn't want to be creative? So, Lynn, thank you so much. Where can viewers follow you, follow your journey, and connect with Sky Bell Fine Jewelry? Where could we find you? How could we support you? Because a lot of people are going to want to go and shop and buy jewelry, which I've actually purchased a lot of my jewelry with you.
Yes.
Because it's high-end, mm-hmm. great quality, mm-hmm. and it's done exclusively. You're not going to find your jewelry piece in another place.
Well, we have a store, actually a physical store at Preston and Northwest Highway, but you can also reach us at skybellfinejewelry.com. It's very easy to reach out through there. You can text us at our phone number, 214-691-5123. We're very active on social, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, which is all Sky Bell Fine Jewelry.
Lynn, it's been incredibly inspiring to hear how you blend love, legacy, and creativity, not just in jewelry, but in everyday life. Today's episode reminded us that the kitchen can be a place of healing, connection, and joyful expressions. So to our viewers, may your holiday season be filled with intention, warmth, and moments that truly matter. Thank you for joining us on Cook and Conquer. Until next time, keep cooking, keep creating, and keep conquering with the heart. And thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you.